Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city. On a hill.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Welcome to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, and welcome to all our new listeners on Rapture Ready Radio. Well, it's been quite a week. And there was quite a few things in the news this week. I'm just going to talk about a few of these now. I read a very disturbing story last night. I don't understand why anyone would take a 14-month-old baby to a dentist. That is bizarre. Why a dentist would ask a parent to bring a 14-month-old baby to his office, except that he's probably greedy. Anyway, the baby died because apparently they gave the baby too much anesthesia. So that's a warning for parents out there that you need to be careful with your children, who you take your children to, what they're doing to your children. Here was a perfectly healthy baby who happened to encounter a incompetent, greedy dentist, and the baby lost their life. So also in the news was a story of an admission by one of the vaccine manufacturers. Now, this is not a secret, but most people don't know about it because they don't like to publicize it on the news, that most vaccines are made with aborted baby tissue. You can look up the package inserts for yourself on the internet, and you will see the ingredient human diploid. When it says human diploid, that means it came from an abortion. So they do add this to most vaccinations, and I believe that's one of the main causes of autism, because we are not cannibals. We're not supposed to be injected with dead humans, which is strange. Anyway, it was admitted by one of the vaccine companies in their package insert that this vaccine can cause autism. But yet they will fight you on this, and they will tell you there's no scientific evidence. But there was a study done a few years ago by a man who went and stayed with the Amish, and he came to the conclusion that none of the Amish children had autism because they didn't get vaccinated. Now, if there was a safe vaccine, yes, I would say yes, vaccinations are a good thing. But you have to know that most vaccines also contain aluminum, formaldehyde, monkey embryos, and other things which I don't really want injected into my body, never mind the body of a baby. So these things you should know before you bring your children, hand your little precious baby over, and they inject the child. Also, some of the adult vaccines, the flu vaccine, one of them anyway, I know of, and the shingles vaccine and the rabies vaccine all have these aborted baby cells in them. So you can either go to my website, propheticnews.com. I have links to the package inserts there, but you can also do your own search on the internet, and you need to be informed about what When you see somebody heading over your way with a hypodermic needle, you should always ask, what's in there? You know? So, anyway, also in the news, now, can you imagine going to this church? Now, they call it a church, but it's run by a hoodlum, a total hoodlum. And it was supposedly a Baptist church. And the pastor's name is in Indiana, and the pastor's name was Robert James. It was called Irvington Baptist Church. The pastor, now it seems that the pastor there was running a drug ring, and also he employed his church members in his drug enterprise. He manufactured nearly 100 tons of synthetic marijuana, also known as spice. Now, how wicked can you get? How wicked can you get? Oh, dear. What next? Well, expect anything. We can expect anything to happen in this day and age, and we need to be vigilant. We need to know those who labor among you and who labor among us, because imagine these people get caught up in this. Most people that go to church, they go for the fellowship, they go for the edification, they want to learn how to manage their lives, and so they're probably middle class, lower middle class people going there, and they need some extra money, and the pastor plays on this and gets them involved in drugs, and they're able to make some extra money to support their families or whatever. But it's almost as wicked. It's almost as wicked as the what my one friend called the tithing terrorists and the miracle sellers, the seed faith sellers of miracles with their promises of great wealth if you show them some money. Also, I wanted to mention my book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God? The Kindle version is available on Amazon, and the print version should be released in the next week or so. I'll keep you notified, but it's also, the subtitle is How False Teachers Hypnotize and Manipulate You for Offerings. So you can give some of your friends that are involved in these scams, you can give them this book. It's I did a lot of research. It's very well documented, and they can learn something and check it out for themselves, really. But we're going to talk today also about, now, Paul Crouch Jr. Paul Crouch Jr., remember him from TBN? He's no longer with TBN, but he was fired by the Word Network. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about Randy White. Now, Randy White, now imagine this, Paula White's ex-husband, he has hooked up with Benny Hinn. Now, this is how desperate Benny Hinn is, because Randy, now I've seen the building. Randy went from his 5,000-seat building there in Tampa, which was demolished. It was knocked down and leveled to the ground. He went bankrupt. Anyway, he moved into this dumpy church, and then he moved into another dumpy church near a strip club. It's a pretty run-down neighborhood. I've been there, took pictures of it. And his building probably seats maybe 300 people. So Benny Hinn's so desperate that he's going over there to hold a miracle service there at Randy White's church in Tampa. And remember, Benny was caught with Paula in Rome. The National Enquirer photographed them holding hands, walking down a street in Rome. They were supposedly there on Vatican business. And so now he is teaming up with the ex-husband of Paula White to hold a miracle service. So times are tough for Benny, because remember, Benny used to fill coliseums. He could get 15, 20,000 people in a room, but he's not doing that anymore. he's not doing that anymore. So, he's hooking up there with Randy. And I'm going to play the clip from Randy. He was talking about it here at his service on Sunday. So I'm going to play that for you so you can hear it.
And so, you know, as our newcomers, the final takedown, is the Pink Pony. Now, I know some of you are like, that can never happen. Well, you don't know my God. My God can do anything but fail. And we can spray against that strip joint that it dries up and dies. That there's no business going on. And the man has to sell the property. Say amen, somebody. And we get that property. He does want to sell it, but he wants to sell it for too much money. So we're going to wait him out a little bit. Is that all right? You know, so part of negotiation, and I'm getting off course here, is waiting out sometimes. Sometimes you just have to wait and be patient. So, with that said, we have a book for all of our newcomers, visitors. So all you have to do is simply lift your hand. You see these people? They have a book for you. And we want to give that book to you. It's something that I wrote, and it's an abstract book for daily devotions. So lift your hand. I know we have a lot of people that are here. Just don't be afraid. This is my first time. Lift your hand. One over here, one over there, one here. A whole bunch back here. One over here. Anyone else in the middle? One right over here. One right here. Keep your hands lifted. Till we get you this book. Keep it lifted. Come on, keep it lifted. Clap without walls. These are great, great people. Keep your hands lifted over here. Anyone else that we missed? Did we miss anyone? Right here, we missed two in the back. We want everybody to get a book. Everyone to get a book. Anyone else that we missed? Now, In that book is a little card. All I ask you to do, are you listening, is to fill that card out. And when we receive the offering in just a moment, then you just put that card in the offering, and that way we will be able to follow up. So the way that we greet, listen, our visitors, is not by having you stand up to embarrass you, but we'd rather for you to be seated. That way you don't feel so uncomfortable. And the church stands up and we greet you by clapping. So without walls, stand and greet our newcomer. Now, the next thing I was talking, everybody listen so I can get into my sermon. Listen to me. I was talking to an evangelist by the name of Benny Hinn. I'm going to call him Benny Hinn because he's my friend. And listen, that is no disrespect. I want to get down here. I don't come down where you guys are. I want you to hear me. Everybody look this way. When we had Benny Hinn the last time, we were at the Carpenter's Home Church that seats 10,000 people. Everybody hear me. Everybody say 10,000 people. Okay, so we had him come in for us. Well, people came from Miami, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and they camped out, so you know, they camped out 2 days ahead of time in line. You all right, Mark? Everybody good? You didn't drop over anything. I don't want Mark dropping over. I need him around here a long time. But they actually put tents up on the property. Did you hear what I said? And camped in the tents. Now, I saw them do this for what they call Black Friday, but I've never seen it done for church. And when we opened the doors, without exaggeration, the building, look this way, the building was filled to capacity within 15 minutes. That's how fast. And we had to literally turn down 10,000 people. They were out on I-4 and they could not get in. We had a traffic jam. So what am I going to do? I'm going to be a little bit wiser this year. We're giving you tickets to Benny Hinn. So you see this good-looking guy here. That's not Benny. And the guy in the white is Benny Hinn. And then it tells the service times, but it doesn't give the date. And the reason was, I was wrestling with Pastor Benny on coming in May because I wanted to tear that building down and start fixing the front of the church up because we wanted to look like the White House. We wanted to put big columns around there and really make it look nice before he came. And when our visitors came, they could get to see some of the new improvements and new carpet, etc. But he's insisting on April the 9th. So all I can say is we've got a lot of work to do between now and April the 9th. So everybody hear me because I'm taking too long on this. I'm taking too long. We only, listen. We only want you here or your friends here. Right? So you get in because we want our people to benefit from Pastor Benny. Then Pastor Randy, why are you giving me tickets? Because you are to give these tickets to your friends and family.
He's hilarious, isn't he? He should get a job as a stand-up comic. Now, Randy White, he's a trip, right? Can you imagine now you're listening to my radio broadcast? I'm talking to you, and if I keep saying to you, come on, are you listening? No, I'm not listening. No, you go to church. These people actually get up in the morning and get dressed and fix themselves up and drive over there to sit there for I don't know what, a bunch of foolishness. And you have some guy saying to you, are you listening to me? Everybody look this way. Are you listening? No, I'm not listening. I'm deaf. It's ridiculous. That's one of those annoying tactics that people use, what they learn in some kind of a speech class or something, how to annoy people so they listen to you. Well, Randy White's great at that, at annoying you. So he says that he was wrestling. Now, that must have been some scene, him and Benny Hinn wrestling, right? He was wrestling with Pastor Benny. And he says that he was talking to Benny Hinn. And he doesn't mean any disrespect because he's calling him Benny. Well, everybody calls me Susan. I don't expect them to call me anything else because my name is Susan. If I had some kind of a title that I earned, and maybe people can call me by that title, but my name is Susan. I don't get offended. I don't say that people are disrespecting me because they call me Susan. If you can't call people by their name, I don't care who they are. If you can't call them by their name, then something's wrong. Something's wrong there. So notice that then he says Pastor Benny, but Benny Hinn no longer pastors a church. I don't know of any church that he's pastoring anymore. He might have a church on the side there at his headquarters just to keep to get a better tax exempt status. If they have a church, they get more benefits than if they don't have a church. So he might, but he used to pastor a church in Orlando, and he left that church behind to Clint Brown, who bought it from him, even though there was still a debt. I think there was a $5 million or a $6 million debt on the building when Benny got out of Orlando, and Clint Brown took it over, which he later bankrupted it, and it was sold at a foreclosure auction. And so that's what happened to that place. But notice that the Randy manipulates the people by telling them, oh, well, we had 10,000 people over there in Lakeland. I went to Lakeland after the whites abandoned the building. The electricity was turned off there for almost 3 years, and that property was sold at a foreclosure auction and later bulldozed. You can see the video on my YouTube channel. It's under my name, Susan Puzio, and you can see that video there of the buildings that were demolished. So he claims that Benny filled the place, 10,000 seats, and there was 10,000 people waiting to get in. Now, that sounds like what we used to call an evangelistic statement, because some evangelists, they like to exaggerate their numbers. So we used to call that evangelistic statement, where he was outside counting the cars. Who was out there counting? Who can count to 10,000? That's who can do that? Was there somebody outside? They counted all the cars and they counted all the people in the cars. He says there was 10,000 people that couldn't get into the building to see Benny Hinn. I doubt that. Seriously, I really doubt that. But Benny doesn't fill those kind of places up anymore. Not in this country, he doesn't. And notice that Randy says, we're going to have tickets for this event, and we're only going to hand the tickets out to you here at the church, so only you can get in. Well, the reason why they're doing that is because probably who's going to go? Most people don't even want to go and hear Benny Hinn anymore. After his divorce, after the scandal with Paula White, after his heart failure where he can't even heal himself, and most people don't even want to go. They're not really interested in Benny. He can still get some sort of a crowd. But Richard Roberts was there at Randy White's church a year or so ago, and I tuned in that Sunday morning, and he didn't even fill the place. It was probably half empty for Richard Roberts. And Lindsay Roberts came on a Saturday morning there to Tampa. She was going to hold an 8-week teaching session every Saturday for the women. So I drove over there, and I caught the tail end of it. Well, Lindsay didn't even have 30 people in there. No, she didn't even get 30 women out on a Saturday morning. Nobody, and this is Tampa, so this is a big city. Nobody even wanted to come out and hear Lindsay or Richard. So in order to save the embarrassment to Benny Hinn, they're only going to give the tickets to the people in the church so they could benefit from Benny's ministry. Mm-hmm, sure. But I have some pictures of that building that maybe I can post. And anyway, you know, I'm not going to mention the name of this guy right now because I'll probably do a program on it in the future. But he's a kind of well-known, more well-known in the past than he is now, an older evangelist. And the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. So, you know, God has a sense of humor, really. When he's going to expose you, you can even expose yourself. So this evangelist, male evangelist, he has a church in Texas. So he's at his church service, and the video's on YouTube. When I like I said, in the next week or so, probably, I'll probably tell you who it is. But anyway, he posts a video on YouTube, and he goes from the church service. He's preaching. I don't know if it was a Sunday morning or what day it was, but he's preaching, oh, praise the Lord, and he's singing and preaching, and then he goes up into his office. And the church service, he had it on Periscope. I guess they do it on their phone or whatever. So he forgot to turn his phone off. So he goes from the church, praise the Lord. And, oh, he has a singing ministry, and he's praising the Lord. And then he goes up to the office, and he calls his girlfriend. Now, he's married, okay? He's married. He's an old guy. He's in his probably 70-something, old. Older. And so he calls his girlfriend, and he starts talking dirty to his girlfriend, cursing, talking dirty, talking about how he's going to meet her in a hotel, and his wife might come with him on the trip, and she's supposed to pray that his wife doesn't come. It's just pray, maybe she won't come, but I'll get you a room. He says he's going to get her a room at the hotel. So him and his wife will be staying in one room, and his girlfriend will have a room down the hall. So then, as this phone call, this Periscope thing proceeds, he has to hang up the phone because I guess one of his little ushers or his elders or somebody comes in the office, and he hangs up the phone. And then he goes into pastor mode. He goes into preacher mode. So he starts telling the guy that comes in the office, oh, they start talking church business. And so he goes from pastor in the pulpit to talking dirty to his girlfriend on the telephone to back to pastor mode. Then when the young guy, the elder, leaves and they finish their conversation, he calls the girlfriend back up. And it gets more disgusting as it goes on. It gave me nightmares. But God, this man, now imagine, this video is on YouTube. The audio and the video is on YouTube. So he exposed himself. God, he exposed himself. So we do these programs to talk about things that these people do, but God is not mocked. They like to tell you to sow money and you'll reap money, but whatever they're sowing, they're going to reap. They're going to reap what they sow. And whatever you're doing in secret, it will get found out. If you're trying to say you're one way and you're another, and you take the gospel of Jesus Christ and you use it to manipulate people and to extort money from people, and you use it for your own gain, that doesn't sit right with God, because God gave his only begotten son for our salvation, and he doesn't look too kindly, even though he's a merciful God. He's a merciful God, so he has mercy on these people, but eventually, when judgment comes, and it will come. It will come. And just like this guy, he probably never in his wildest dreams would think that his conversation with his girlfriend would be on YouTube. Never. He would have never thought it when he got up that morning and he went over to play pastor, and then he goes over and he plays pervert. He never thought that that day was coming. So Benny Hinn, Randy White, the day is coming. The day is coming. The day of judgment is coming. The day of reckoning is coming. God doesn't like miracle selling. No, God doesn't like extortion. He doesn't like that. And so Randy and Benny will be hooking up, and it'll probably be on the internet. April 9th, withoutwalls.org has a live broadcast, so if anybody wants to go and watch it, which I'll probably watch some of it just so I could see what's going on over there, but it should be hilarious. I really don't have too much compassion for these people because God, now, in the case of Randy White, where God, his buildings, both of his buildings have been, that he previously owned and had churches in Tampa and Lakeland have been bulldozed, and they no longer exist. He filed for bankruptcy in 2014, and one church was sold at a foreclosure auction. The other was going to foreclosure auction when it was sold. So he is not, how can he talk about being successful? Because that's not success. And for all the seed sowing that Randy White claims he's done over the years and all the millions of dollars he took in, it didn't do him any good because his two buildings were leveled to the ground and bankrupt. They couldn't pay the electric bill. I have a picture in one of my videos there on YouTube of the sign that was posted by the county where the electricity was turned off and the building was ordered vacated and they could not re-enter the building until they paid their electric bill. So that's not prosperity. With all the tithing teaching, and I'm going to play this audio so you can hear Randy talking about tithing and how beneficial it is to you and seed sowing, resurrection seed sowing, and how beneficial it is to you. Well, it didn't benefit him. It certainly didn't benefit him. No, didn't benefit him when they turned his electricity off because he couldn't pay his bill. And it stayed off for 3 years. The building, I was there. I saw the building. I saw the damage that was done to the buildings that they left vacant. And it was they were being vandalized. The buildings were vandalized so much. They were stealing the copper from the air conditioning systems. They were destroying the electricity. They bulldozed that church. This was a 10,000 seat church that was built in 1985. It was a beautiful church. I've been there many times, and it was destroyed because Randy and Paula White's negligence, their total disregard for their property, for the things that they owned, and they just left it there to rot. And then they want to tell you about prosperity. They want to tell you how you can prosper. Well, they're liars. They're liars, and they're extortioners. And the Bible says that there's a place for those people. We'll read some of those scriptures. But I want you to hear Randy for yourself. You can hear him now. This is from last week, and he's talking about life coaches. Oh, yes, we all need a life coach, don't we? The life coach. And Randy calls himself a life coach. Well, he needs a little life coaching himself, really. Yeah, he needs a little life coaching himself. But here's Randy talking about tithing and life coaches.
A counselor takes your past and does the healing. A life coach takes where you are presently, and it gives you direction for your future. And I believe this because Carrie has taught before that Carrie happens to be one of the greatest life coaches in the world today. And she is learning her craft more and more. And she's reaching out and people in Beverly Hills want her, etc. And she is very knowledgeable. And I'm not pressing her for her business, but I'm saying, if you're in that place where you're stuck, anybody ever been stuck? You know, you want a man, but you're stuck. Or you want a woman and you're stuck. Or watch this one, you're ready for this one? You want to get rid of the woman, but you're stuck. Then you see the life coach. So make sure, if that's you, see the life coach, Kerry Charles. Give him a good God bless you, if you will, everyone. All right. We are going to receive the tithe and the offering. Now, you can see those that normally attend our church and those that don't. Because those that don't just grab their seat and their knuckles just turn white. Because they're like, why are they clapping for tithe and offering? Well, let me explain it. Everybody look this way. Let me explain it. When Jesus died on the cross, he not only took your sins, but he took the spirit of poverty and he conquered that poverty over your life. Now, everyone listen. Some of you have businesses that are failing. They're just making it by week to week. You better hear this, preacher. Well, that's because you're not tithing.
It didn't work for you.
Some of you are going from paycheck to paycheck. And you're like, it's never enough. Even when I get a bonus, it kind of just like has holes in it. Well, that's what Malachi said. He said, you're putting your money into a bag that has holes. Anybody feel like you've ever put your money in a bag that just has holes? Wave your hand. I have.
You know all about that.
Like it came in and it just went, it's gone. It's gone. Well, the way you stop the holes, everyone listen, is by being a tither. A tither.
Really?
Some of the most wealthiest people I know today, and I know wealthy people, are tithers. It was Ronald Reagan, the President of the United States, that says, I tithe every week on my paycheck. The President of the United States was a tither. My dad said this, and I'll be through. You cannot outgive God. So I'm going to ask everyone to do something for this preacher today. On your envelope, if you have one, you should have a pink envelope. On your envelope, write your name, address, etc. And where it says tithe, tithe is 10% of your gross income on your personal income or your business. But because it's Easter, everybody say Easter. Now listen to me. You got to hear me on this.
Okay.
Are you listening?
No.
People think when you get a crowd, so we're full on the bottom, and we'll be full on the top at the second service. We'll be completely full. But listen to me. People think when you get a crowd that a lot of money comes in. And let me tell you the reason why. They always think someone else is going to do it. Did you just hear my what I said?
No.
All right. So I'm going to ask everyone. Listen. Because I want this to be the best offering ever.
Wow.
I want everyone, if you can, to write a $25 check beyond what you normally would give. $25. Now, if you can't do it, there's no pressure. Nobody's going to come to you. We're not going to read it and say, oh, I can't believe that you only gave this set in the back. We're not going to do that. We're only asking for people that can have $25 or more to do that. If you have been blessed, then do that beyond your tithe. David, I don't know where David is now. He's got my credit card. Somebody find him because I need to give him my offering as well. And as you're preparing that today, I just want you to take time to spend time with your family. Amen?
Oh, dear. He's too much, isn't he? God, where's David? He says... I need my credit card so I can give this offering. He's hilarious. I mean, he's collecting the offering for himself, right? And then he's going to show everybody that he's going to give $25 too. People. He never stops. Could you imagine going over to this place that people actually, people in their right minds, probably some of them are not in their right minds, but they get up in the morning, you get up, you have to eat your breakfast, you have to comb your hair, put on your makeup. Girls do. We put on our makeup and get dressed up. And so that's going to take about 45 minutes. If you have kids, you have to get them ready. So that's about an hour or so. So you take an hour out of your morning, then you drive over to this place. Maybe that takes half hour, could take longer than that to drive over to this place. And then you sit there for 2 hours. So it's like 4 hours out of your day to go and hear this guy saying to you, listen, are you listening to me? Listen, listen, come on, look this way. Who would want to subject themselves to this idiot? Also, I would say to him, Randy, it didn't work for you. Randy, remember when we were at Without Walls over there on Grady? We were over there Without Walls. Randy, remember when we were there and we had a building that sat 5,000 people? And, Randy, we also had an administration building next to that, a four-story administration building they had, which housed the Paula White Ministries television network and their ministry offices. Remember, Randy, when we had that building? We had all that. And remember, Randy, you had a mansion on Bayshore Boulevard there in Tampa. You had that big mansion there right on the water. And remember when you had all that? And Randy, remember when you had a 10,000-seat building in Lakeland, Florida that sat on 65 acres. Remember, Randy, when you had all that? Randy, what happened to all that, Randy? So why are you telling me to tithe that the reason why my pocketbook is empty and my bank account is empty and why my business isn't successful is because I'm not tithing and I'm not seed sowing? I would say, Randy, remember, this, we could have a television program for Randy, right? We could call it, This Is Your Life. And we could take out the book. We could show him all the wealth that he had one time from scamming people, because that's the only way they got it, him and Paula, the chief scammer and the chief con artist there. And then Randy White, Ahab, because Paula was the Jezebel, and Randy, it's even on video on YouTube where Randy tells Paula that he's going to submit to her. He actually said it to her. Yes, I'm going to submit to you. And so he submitted to her, and Ahab and Jezebel, that's how they wound up. Paula wound up running off and stealing that ministry over there from Reva Timms after Zach died in Destiny, and Randy rode off into the sunset. Now you can see the building. Now the building that he went to after the 5,000 seat building was demolished and the 10,000 seat building was demolished. Now I went inside this building. I actually went there one Sunday morning when he was having a church service, and this building, as soon as you walked in, it smelled of mold. You could smell the mold. It was an old building, probably 70 or 80 years old. It was a dump that had been closed up for years, and he went and he took this building over, and he cleaned it up, and that's where he went. And now this little building, the outside, the paint was peeling off. You could see the video on my YouTube channel, and Randy actually left his shopping cart out there. There was a shopping cart sitting outside that Randy that Randy left there. Yeah, Randy left it there. So that's where he went to after. Randy, this is your life, Randy. Tithing did not work for you. Seed sowing did not work for you. No, that doesn't work. No, you can't bribe God. You can't make God do things for you. There's no money, not enough money in the world to make God Almighty himself, the God that created the universe with his word. There's not enough money in the world to make God do things for you. So the only way you got rich, and you didn't get rich, and they were rich at one time. Yes, they were rich. The only way you got rich is by scamming people, by teaching a false doctrine of tithing and seed sowing. And that's the only way you got rich. And because you got rich like that, the God Almighty in his infinite wisdom and mercy took it all away from you. He took it all away, and you wound up in an old moldy building over there on Kennedy. And then you went to another moldy building on Grady. And so that's where you're at now, Randy. You lost your mansion. You did the mansion you had to sell, and your airplane and everything else, all your yacht and whatever else you had. You lost it all. And he doesn't look healthy, this man. He does not look healthy at all. But I'm going to read you the meaning of the word extort. The word extort means to draw from by force or compulsion, to wrest or wring from by physical force, by menace, duress, violence, authority, or by illegal means. A promise extorted by duress is not binding. To gain by violence or oppression. And these poor people that go to these so-called churches, they're drawn in by extortion. And they spend sometimes 15, 20 minutes taking up an offering. They play music, and then they make all these promises to you. And the Bible talks about that in Corinthians, that when we give, we're supposed to be cheerful givers, and we don't give out of necessity. We don't give because we have to. We don't give because we want to. We don't give by compulsion. We give from a willing heart, willingly, because God is able to speak to us. We can hear from God on our own. We don't need Randy White or Benny Hinn or anybody else to tell us what God is saying. I'm born again. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I can hear God, and so can you. So we give out of love, and we don't buy into this whole extortion thing, but it didn't work for Randy White. It works for them for a while, just like Benny Hinn. He had built a house there in California. He built it. Oh, it's probably worth $5 or $10 million near the ocean there. He lost that house. When he got divorced from Suzanne, it cost him over $1 million just for the attorneys. Of course, he remarried her later, but let's look at some of the scriptures on extortion. And yes, the word is in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 6:10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 5:11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such an one know not to eat. So we're not supposed to have fellowship with these people. Never mind going to their so-called churches. 1 Corinthians 5:10, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. Matthew 23:25, this is Jesus talking here. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Ezekiel 22:12. In thee have they taken gifts to shed blood. Thou hast taken usury and increase, and thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion, and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord. Psalm 109:11. Let the extortioner catch all that he hath, and let the stranger spoil his labor. Yes, the stranger will spoil his labor. So it might work for them for a while, but eventually God will judge them. And hopefully some of these people will get born again. I do not believe for 1 minute that Randy White is a born-again Christian. I don't believe Benny Hinn is a born-again Christian. He actually said it himself that, and we did a program about this a few weeks ago. I also have the audio on my YouTube channel, Susan Puzier, where Benny Hinn said that he thought he might die from this heart condition, and he didn't really know if he was going to make heaven. So, no, people that are born again, we know that we're going to heaven. We know we're going to heaven. If you don't know you're going to heaven, then you're not saved. So Benny Hinn's not saved. But I'm just going to play quickly, and then we're going to talk about Paul Crouch Jr. But I wanted to play. Now, this is Rod Parsley from last week. I wanted you to hear his voice because we know that he had throat cancer last year, and he didn't talk for 6 months, over 6 months. He couldn't talk, so he couldn't preach, couldn't open his mouth. And you think that after he had 28 radiation treatments and after he had this throat cancer and everything, that when he would come back from the brink of death and this tremendous suffering that he went through, that he would be repentant, right? You would think that he would be, but no, he came back. And he continues to scam people. He continues to run these extortion schemes over there at his so-called church and his so-called ministry. And here's Rod now. Here's Rod saying, last week he says this, show me the money.
So we're so proud of them. Thank you for all of your support. Many of you blessed us financially with a gift so that we could go and participate in this competition. So we love you and appreciate all of your prayers. I know we were tweeting and texting everybody yesterday saying to pray for us, fast for us, and it certainly worked. So we're blessed.
Show me the money.
Show me the money.
That's all he has on his mind. That's all he has on his mind. Show me the money. Yeah, show me the money, yeah. And here's another clip. Now, you'll hear Rod's voice. Now, his voice doesn't sound good. No, it doesn't sound good to me. He claims that he's healed and that his throat is fine, but he doesn't sound good.
I've been around a lot. Well, where have you been? Well, I've been to the Baptist Church and the Methodist Church and the Episcopal Church and the Pentecostal Church. It must have been a lot of time at World Harvest Church. The 50 interrupted and said, excuse me, what's a church? That was funny. I work hard on this. Shove your neighbor and say, be happy. Hallelujah. What a time we're living in. What an amazing opportunity that is set right before us, even today. This is a moment unlike any other moment in human history. Now the Bible says in the book of Revelation, be zealous, therefore, and repent. That's a good thing. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, isn't it? Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Lest, God said, I come quickly and renew out of its place. Everybody shout that word, place. Well, it's a Greek word, topos, T-O-P-O-S. And what it means is a specific positioning of opportunity that belongs to no one else. God said, I'm going to give you a place that is unlike any other place that anybody has ever been privileged to occupy. That place where you are strategically opens up to you a vista of opportunities that are not available to anybody else. Shove your neighbor and say, I've got mine, you get yours. Thirty-one years ago, God Almighty deposited supernaturally a word in my belly. Some folks grab a hold of that word. They make it their own. They determine to fulfill the scripture that says, you are made strong by reason of the prophecy that went before concerning you.
He doesn't sound good. No, he doesn't sound good, no. And he says that he's talking about the resurrection seed offering, because we know last week was Resurrection Sunday celebrated. And Rod says that God 31 years ago told him that every resurrection year, he's supposed to, when they celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, that he's supposed to take up a resurrection offering. And this is a very special time, he says, and a place, you have a place, and no one else has this place, and this is the time that you're supposed to give this money and lay it at the altar, and his God, he's talking about his God, because our God doesn't do this, but his God jumps off the throne. When you bring money over there to Rod's church on Resurrection Sunday, his God jumps off the throne and is so delighted that he answers your prayers. He answers your prayers. So, anyway, Rod doesn't sound too good. Sounds to me like Rod's in a whole heap of trouble. He's in a whole heap of trouble. Now, we're going to talk just briefly about last Sunday also. As we know, many churches were celebrating Resurrection Sunday. And Paula White at her den of iniquity over there, I don't even want to call it a church. In the last year, Paula White and her husband, Jonathan Cain, also you can hear the audio for some of you that have not heard it. It's on my YouTube channel where her and her husband tell the women in the congregation to watch porn with their husband. Yes, Sunday morning service, men, women, and children of all ages sitting in the congregation, and Paula and her husband teaching a relationship class tell the people to watch porn together. So now, this past Sunday, to top it all off, to add to her cup of iniquities, Paula White has an illustrated sermon. And in the illustrated sermon, she has actors, and they're behind a screen, so you can see the silhouette, and it's up on the platform, so everybody can see it. Everybody can see it. And she's narrating off to the side, and on the screen appears a woman who doesn't have much clothing on. It looks like she has shorts on. And a tight shorts and a top, tight top. And you see this woman, and this man comes over to her, and it looks like he's handing her money while Paul is narrating. And then the woman goes up to the man, and they start simulating a sex act right there in front of everybody that Sunday morning. Now, a friend of mine called me and told me that he was seeing this, and I couldn't even imagine what he was seeing when he was telling me. And I was able to capture it on video, which I might post on YouTube in the next week or so, so you can see it yourself. Now, I've seen a lot of things in my time in church, but I never saw anything like that in church. Now, that I never saw. I never saw two people standing together, writhing. Now, that I never saw in church. Now, no, I never saw that. So I don't know why, I don't know why that place didn't empty out. I don't know why the mothers in that congregation didn't pick up their teenage sons and their teenage daughters and their little children. I don't know why they didn't get up and walk out of that place and never come back. Why they even came back after they told people to watch pornography, I don't know. I don't know how anybody ever went back there. But Paula continues to push the envelope because this is a form of manipulation. It's also what many of the cult leaders do. They see how far they can push the envelope and to see what people will be able to take because then they know that they have these people and they can just about do anything they want to them, just like Jim Jones did back in the late 70s when he took over 1,000 people with him to Guyana. And they committed suicide by drinking cyanide. So she realizes that she has these people where she wants them, and she can do or say just about anything, and they will laugh and they will enjoy themselves, and they come back for more. So the word seduce means to draw aside or entice from the path of rectitude and duty in any manner by flattery, promises, bribes, or otherwise to tempt and lead to iniquity, to corrupt, to deprave. And certainly we saw that in this so-called illustrated sermon, which we could have done without the illustration. But here's a few scriptures on the word seduce. Proverbs 12:26, the righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduces them. Ezekiel 13:10, because they have seduced my people, saying peace, and there was no peace, and one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Mark 13:22, for false Christ and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Revelation, now this one is for Paula White. Revelation 2:20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel Paula White, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication. And truly, this wicked display that was portrayed there in Apopka was meant to seduce the young people, the men in the church, the women in the church. It was just awful. I was shocked because, like I said, and I'm sure many of you that have been going to church for years, you would never expect to see something like that on a Sunday morning, especially a morning where most people come to church on a what they call Easter or what they call Resurrection Sunday morning, and come to a building and see two people writhing together. I don't think any of us would ever expect to see anything like that. So what has the so-called church world come to? How much more can we expect to see and hear in these times? So we must be diligent to stay in the Word of God, to have fellowship with like-minded believers, to stay strong in the Word for everyone to be responsible for studying to show themselves approved, because truly the days are so wicked and so evil that if we don't have a good foundation, we can be seduced just like the rest of them, because they still have people come into their so-called churches. Not like they did, because even Paula White, on her Thursday night services there in Apopka, she doesn't even, there's not the building, and maybe that I can only estimate really, because I don't really know, that building that she has there might seat 500, maybe more. She doesn't even, the place isn't even half full on the Thursday night, so even she doesn't draw a crowd anymore like she used to. But still, she manages to seduce people to come there and to have to subject themselves to this type of thing. But I want to talk a little bit here toward the close of the show about Paul Crouch Jr. Now, we know Paul Crouch Jr. from TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Company, and we know that Paul Crouch Jr. is the son of the now deceased Paul Crouch Sr., and Jan Crouch, and that he was the heir apparent of the Trinity Broadcasting Network. I would say he was probably the one, the first in line, where he was going to take over that network. Anyway, he was being groomed for that. I would say he was probably first in line. And Matt Crouch, his younger brother, who is not really a Crouch, according to the testimony of Brittany Coper Crouch, who is Jan Crouch's granddaughter and the daughter of Paul Crouch Jr. And she worked at TBN. Of course, she was raised in the family. That's all she knew all her life. She was the she has a master's degree. She was the financial officer in charge there of the finances, and her husband, her then husband, an attorney, also worked at the ministry there, and they saw some inconsistencies. Can't talk today. In the finances, and they brought it to Paul Sr.'s attention, and it didn't go over real well. It didn't go over well, so they were fired. The granddaughter, her husband, Paul Jr., and the other grandchildren, two others, Brandon, Kara. I'm not sure if Kara worked there. I think Brandon did. But anyway, they were all fired. I think it happened, might have happened, I don't know, 2010, 2011. So, and then Matt Crouch, basically, Jan is still in charge, even though Paul Sr. is dead. Jan is still in charge of the operations, but now Matt seems to be the one who's in control. Now, did you ever notice that Matt and Paul Jr. don't look alike? I noticed that. When I used to see them sitting together, I would look at them and say, wow, those two brothers look nothing alike. They don't look anything alike. And Brittany, who has an interview, and you can go to Jackie Alnor's YouTube channel to hear that audio that she did an interview with Brittany Crouch after she was fired. And she alleges in her testimony that Matt Crouch is not the son of Paul Crouch, but that he is the son of Dick Dubois, the former Mr. America. And you can also go online and look up the pictures of Dick Dubois, D-U, capital B-O-I-S, for Sam, Dick Dubois, and compare them to Matt. Now, they're twins. They're twins, okay? So she alleges that Matt is the son from an affair that Jan had with Mr. America. And anyway, now Matt's in charge. Paul Jr. was out, and Paul Jr. instead of repenting after he got fired, and instead of changing his life, because he knew all the con games they were running over there at TBN, he knew all the scamming that was going on with the offerings and all that. He knew all that. He knew exactly what was going on over there. So you think that he would repent and he would maybe write a book about, like Jim Baker did, I was wrong, and say he was wrong. No, Paul Jr. goes over to the Word Network, or as I call it, the Unword Network, and he gets a job there. Kevin Adele is the owner of the Word Network. I don't think he's a Christian. It would be hard for me to believe that he is a Christian, but he comes from a very wealthy family himself. Kevin Adele, according to this news report that I'm reading here, when his father passed away, he left an estate of $50 million, now worth $50 million. And he was having some kind of a skirmish over it with his sisters. But anyway, here's the news story, and you can type it in if you want to see this news story yourself. Paul Crouch Jr. fired from the Word Network March 30th, 2016. The Word Network, the largest African-American religious network in the world, terminates Paul Crouch Jr. for numerous violations of corporate policy and misconduct. I do not tolerate misconduct. And it is handled swiftly in my organization, says founder and CEO Kevin Adele. Paul Crouch Jr., son of Paul Crouch Sr., founder of Trinity Broadcasting Network, was hired by the Word Network as manager of production and development. Paul Crouch Jr. was fired from TBN prior to accepting the position at the Word Network. Now, if anyone has ever watched the Word Network, it is one of the most despicable networks out there. It has every kind of con artist on there, such as George Bloomer, who claims that he will sweat on your money. And he actually does this. When he's preaching, he's sweating. He takes people's offering envelopes and he puts them on his sweaty head. And he sweats on the things and then he gives it back like it's some kind of magic thing, his sweat. Yeah, he says that his sweat is anointed. I don't know anybody that has anointed sweat. I don't think so. Anyway, people believe that. They believe it, yeah. And then they have shouting Juanita Bynum, who acts like she just came out of a mental institution. She really does. Have you ever watched Juanita lately? She's like a crazy woman. And she's always screaming. I'm surprised she has a voice left, Juanita. And then they have Jamal Bryant, and they do these pimp-a-thons on there. They're always pimping people for money. They have every kind of lie and scam going on over there. Yeah. Kevin Adele says that he does not tolerate misconduct there at his organization. Wow. Isn't that something? Now, that's a contradiction in terms, isn't it? Now, here's Kevin Adele now. Here's a newspaper story, and it's in the Oakland Press, Oakland, California. And there's a picture here of one of his cars. Now, he has many, 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 many cars. Supposedly, he has 50 or 60 automobiles that he owns, rare automobiles. Now, he loves cars. And so if you go Oakland Press and you put in the word Kevin Adele, A-D-E-L-L, it brings up the picture of one of his cars here, a rare Lamborghini Diablo. Now, Diablo, that's a good name for it, right, Diablo? It says here that there was only 4 of these cars ever made, and Kevin Adele is the owner of one of them. Yes, he is. And he also brought his 1965 aluminum body chrome Cobra, another good name, at the show. So he brings his cars there. He shows off some of his cars. He doesn't show off all of the cars, but, you know, so-called Christian television is very lucrative. Very, very, very lucrative. I mean, after all, okay, he was a pretty wealthy guy on his own, but not as wealthy as he is now with all this scamming going on over there. And he's managed to purchase himself 50 or 60 automobiles. Now, remember what the Bible says. The Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain all the riches in the world and to lose his own soul? What does it profit a man? When you die, and when you die, you know you're dead. You either go to heaven or hell. You leave it all behind, and you leave it behind. And what happens after you die and you have a little bit of money? Everybody's fighting over it. They're fighting. You go to the funeral home, they're fighting. After the funeral, they're fighting. So he's not taking any of those cars with him. Nah. He's not taking any of his $50 million inheritance with him. Nah. He's not taking any of that money that he earned from the Word Network with him. Nah. Either is Paul Crouch Jr. Now, what's going to happen to Junior now? What's going to happen? Because I guarantee you, Matt over there at TBN, Matt and his wife, Lori, they don't ever want to see Paul Crouch Jr. over there. Now, they don't want to see him. Nope. Nope, because Matt Crouch is not into sharing. No, he is not into sharing. And now that he got rid of Junior and his family, he's not letting him back over there. No, he's not letting him back over there. There'll be some kind of fighting going on over there with Jan, because that is her son. That is, Paul Jr. is her son. Matt is her son. So there is going to be a whole lot of fighting now. Now, can you imagine that Paul Jr. got remarried, divorced his first wife, and he got remarried a few years later, married. You can see the picture. If you see the pictures that are flashing by there on the broadcast page, but he got remarried, and so now he's unemployed. He's unemployed. So where is he going to go now? Where is he going to go? We'll see. And another embarrassment. Another embarrassment. Fired by his own mother and father. And now fired by Kevin Adell from the Unword Network. So what do you think? Do you think like me? Do you think that maybe God Almighty is trying to get his attention? Do you think that God Almighty himself is rocking his boat and bringing him down? You think that this might be a good opportunity for Crouch Jr. to get saved and to preach the real gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because I guarantee you that he probably does know what the real gospel is. I doubt that this man is saved also, because extortion and conning, they don't go together in the Christian walk. No, because we don't walk with extortion. We don't walk with conning. We don't walk with scanning. We walk with integrity. Real Christians, we walk with integrity. We do the right thing. We don't cheat people. We don't rob people. No, that's not real Christianity. So I doubt seriously that he himself is saved. So isn't this a good time for him to look over his life and cry out to God and say, God, I am lost and undone without you and your son, and I repent from my scamming? This might be a good opportunity. This is the second time he's been brought down. One time he faced public embarrassment by being fired by his own parents and then being fired again? Wouldn't it be a good time for him to give his life to Jesus Christ and sell out to the real gospel? That's what I'm calling on you, Paul Crouch Jr., to repent. Give up your wicked ways because it's not doing you any good. Your wickedness and your scamming, it's not doing you any good. If you look like you're hitting the bottle. And you might have to hit the bottle if you have any kind of conscience. That's why a lot of these people turn to drugs and adultery and they turn to alcohol, because they can't stand to listen to that still small voice telling them what's right in this life, to do right. So we'll see what happens with Crouch Jr. We'll see what the future holds there, but it'll be interesting to see what goes on here in the days ahead, because truly I think 2016 is a real time for judgment. I think we're going to see many, many of these ministries crash. They're going to go bankrupt. God is going to expose them. They will expose themselves. They don't need any help from me or anybody else, because when God gets ready to bring a ministry down, he does fine all by himself. God all by himself. And I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. The day that I went to Tampa, Florida, and I drove up in my car and I saw those bulldozers at Without Walls Church there in Tampa, I saw the bulldozers. The building was leveled to the ground, and the bulldozers were picking up the pieces. And I said to myself, nobody but God could have done that. Nobody. Randy and Paula White like to blame people. They like to blame the newspapers, and they don't have anybody to blame but themselves, because it was an act of God. I'm tearing this mess down, just like he tore down the Tower of Babel, or whatever you want to call it. He tore it down. And that Babel that's going on over there, he tears down those temples too. So I'm just a voice crying out in the wilderness here among the many other voices, but God himself will bring judgment, and he will destroy the wicked works of iniquity and hopefully bring some of these people to repentance. I hope some of them do, because hell is hot. It's hot, and it's real. Not worth it to gain the whole world and to lose your own soul. What is worth that? Because there is an eternal life after this one. So it's just not worth it. For money? Nah, not worth it. No. Earning an honest living? Yeah, that's fine. Earn an honest living. If God makes you rich on your own, if you get rich on your own, there's nothing wrong with having money if you earned it yourself and you earned it honestly. That's none of my business how much money you have or how you got my money. It's none of your business either. But lying and scamming and using the name of Jesus as a way to scam people, no. That's you're bringing judgment to yourself. Judgment. I don't want to be judged by God. No, I don't want to be, especially publicly judged and publicly embarrassed. You can imagine that guy over there in Texas that this video is out there on YouTube of him talking like a pervert to his girlfriend. He never in his wildest dreams thought that was going to be brought to light. You don't mock God. You don't mock him. He's real. God's real. He's a God of mercy, but he's also a God of judgment. Remember what happened to Herod? He got eaten up with worms. Remember what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Remember what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? Oh, no. Don't mess around. Don't mess around. Sobering. Very sobering. Anyway, we'll see what happens. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And if you have any program ideas or can recommend any guests to me or you have any tips, that's okay. If you want to keep it confidential, that's fine. You can email me, Susan@propheticnews.com. Don't forget our website. We will be updating it in the days ahead. And hopefully next week I will release my print edition of my book on seed faith, Can a Man Bribe God? And so you all be blessed out there. Thank you, everybody in the chat room. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Let's have a glorious church without spot and wrinkle. Well, none of us are perfect. We realize that. We're all trying to work out our salvation, amen, with fear and trembling. But let us do so with integrity and honesty. And let's love our neighbor as ourselves and treat people the way we want to be treated is what we're supposed to do. It's very easy. The gospel's simple. And it's not difficult to be a Christian. It's a wonderful life. Remember that movie, It's a Wonderful Life? Well, it's a wonderful life being a Christian and having Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. There's nothing like it. So we know that. And we want others to know the great good news. And remember, if you don't know Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, ask him to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Repent of your sins with a heartfelt repentance. Confess that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He died on the cross, rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. And he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. He is coming again. Yes, he is coming again. No matter what's going on in the world, Jesus Christ is coming again. And he has a place for you in heaven today. Read the book of Romans. Confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. And Jesus Christ himself said in John 3, ye must be born again. First you are born of your mother, then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And you too can know the great good news of the gospel. You can know where you're going to spend eternity. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to fret. You can have peace and joy and life everlasting. Nobody else can give it to you, only Jesus Christ. God bless you all. Bye-bye, everybody. Hey, record. Here we go.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.